is interconnected with Black, Brown, Indigenous, and it's connected. What they are doing to the Palestinian people is what they continue to do to our Black brothers and sisters here, to the immigrant community here, and enough. So I want you to know this. As you all are marching for freedom of Palestine, please know that you must be marching for everybody's freedom. It is all interconnected.
That's Rashida Tlaib. And because of stupid people in the world doing stupid things, that's why yours truly has no life anymore, because we got to cover it. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's good to be with you guys today. And we got a lot to cover as well, because there's all kinds of stuff happening. I hope you signed up for the newsletter. I opened yesterday's newsletter up to everybody, and it's not going to be like that all the time, because I put a lot of effort into it, and I'm a capitalist, and I'm not even going to lie to you. So, this, in looking at some of the stuff, some of the big headlines that we have, first off, we're going to get into all of the latest with Israel. But at the same time, Colonial Pipeline, did you guys see the news? They reopened. Colonial Pipeline has reopened, but they paid the ransom. They paid the ransom. So $5 million in ransom, they paid it. That's not going to encourage anything at all, is it?
You mean
more criminal activity?
Criminal activity after this? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. More criminal activity. Right now. I mean, it is what it is. So they paid the ransom, $5 million. The thing that gets me is that the media was omitting that things were reopening because the ransom was paid. Like all of the original news articles about this, they were omitting the fact that the reason that everything was reopening was because specifically the ransom was paid. Now, Twitchy had a really good, because I saw the Reuters thing, but I didn't see Washington Post, although I'm not surprised. But they were saying that the restart went well. And this is what they were reporting on what Jennifer Granholm said. The restart went well. Things should return to normal by the end of the weekend, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But the big underlying news is that they paid a $5 million ransom in untraceable cryptocurrency. Yeah. So I'm sure this isn't going to have any kind of impact at all whatsoever on the way that these things are handled in the future, right? I'm positive this isn't going to have any, you're not going to see anything like this happen again, right?
I'm not that positive.
Oh my gosh. So this, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this very, very briefly coming up later on in the show, because now the whole topic has moved from, well, when are the Eastern states going to be able to get fuel to, and what are we going to do to boost infrastructure to, we're really paying terrorists off with ransom? We're paying that off now, because I still maintain that this was a Russian proxy. I really do think that, like, as the days go by, I really do believe more and more that this was a Russian proxy outfit, and that this is what they, and that this was, this is not something that was done without the knowledge of the Kremlin. That's me. If you want to believe whatever you want to believe, it's a free society and you can do that. But I'm just telling you, that's what I believe. So this whole situation, I think, has just been made exponentially worse. And remember what I told you earlier about how a lot of these companies were going to interpret DarkSide's original response as, oh, we have to be part of a bigger system, because they're the bait. They're the bait. They're going to be used to get part of a bigger system, and then they're going to be the weakest link in the chain, and then that's how they're going to get all this access. So I'm just going to, that's just laying that out for you. So that's what's happening with the pipeline. We're going to go back to that, because there's other things to discuss with it. Also, the president, and I'm glad that he said this, said that Israel has a right to defend itself, which they do. Biden condemned Hamas rocket attacks in a call with Benjamin Netanyahu. And of course, his base went insane over it. The White House statement on Biden's conversation, when they released his state, I mean, I'm glad that he said this. I'm shocked that he said this. And this, and you've been hearing from members of the squad all morning who have been condemning it. But this is good news, all the same. But the other issue is that Congress has been putting some pressure on him as well. with the Washington Free Beacon, their report, he was pressed to cancel Iran talks as Tehran-backed terrorists were attacking Israel. And, you know, Hamas, they're entire. I mean, you have the leader of Hamas saying, oh, yeah, Iran funded us. And I mean, what other evidence do you need aside from the fact that they put pretty much each rocket and just like each mine over in Iraq pretty much had like a made in Iran sticker on it? More than 40 Republican senators petitioned the White House to immediately in negotiations with Iran and make clear that sanctions are not going to be provided. Our sanction relief, rather, will not be provided. So this is all, I mean, I'm glad that members of Congress are doing this, and I don't know how we can continue to engage in any kind of conversation with Israel, who, and because they're backing Hamas, which our country has explicitly defined as a terrorist organization, and they've attacked their ally and are on record repeatedly saying, which we all know anyway, that Iran has funded, they funded all their stuff. So we know all this. Why are we even still continuing with conversations about any of this? So I'm glad to see, at least, that the administration isn't so far gone that they are refusing to acknowledge an ally's right to defend themselves. Now, speaking of this, Palestinian officials, like I said, they were literally on air saying, oh, yeah, the rockets that we used to attack Israel, those rockets? Yeah, those rockets, they came from Iran. I mean, they were on video saying this stuff. I don't know if you can understand. I think we have it, but I don't.
Yeah, it's not English.
Yeah, you can't. But this is what he says. Listen.
He's saying, yeah, those are
Iran's
rockets.
He said yesterday and today, he forgets the fact that they responded after being attacked with rockets. He said yesterday and today, the IDF attacked hundreds of Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists. Or no, he said that Israel attacked Gaza, when in fact, I mean, the very first account of rockets fired, it was from Gaza. And there's the video of it, you know, because everybody has a phone nowadays. But Netanyahu had said that IDF had retaliated, targeting a number of Hamas and Islamic jihadist targets in Gaza Strip. So you have Hamas, you have the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. They said that in recent days, rockets and weapons, they all came from Iran. These are proxy groups, and we talked about this at length yesterday. These are proxy groups that are being used. I mean, it's the same old stuff for as long as we've been alive. How many people don't understand this now? It's a proxy group that's being used by Iran to attack an ally. Just like whenever we have little boats buzzing our naval vessels and trying to bait them into an act of war, those are always Houthis, or sometimes it's the Iranian guard. But more often than not, and then when our ships are attacked with rockets, it's always the Houthis, which we know is a terror group. It's a proxy for Iran. It's always some group that is a proxy for Iran. One group that's a proxy for Iran. Another group that's a proxy for Iran. And we have the same people, the same retreads from the Obama administration that want to continue discussions with Iran. And in fact, by the way, you realize that we're funding all of this, correct? Do you realize that the reason I work 14-hour days and pay six figures in taxes, no joke, is so that my money can go towards terrorists like Hamas? So all the people who are telling me my fair share, you can take a giant middle finger salute and go sit on the business end of a broom, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm just saying, you know how many jobs I could create? How many jobs? How many jobs everybody else could create? Oh, well, no, we're not creating jobs. We're funding rockets. And you want to know why I'm positive in saying that? Because there have been so many stories that have come out discussing how such and such country sent aid to Gaza. All this aid that goes to Gaza, whose hands do you think that goes in first? They take their cut and then they give a little bit to the people that are trapped in this mess. It's always the people who are running this. They take their cut. Oh, they get it. Oh, give us the aid. And then we'll make sure it gets distributed amongst the people. It's like, imagine 50 Banes from Batman over there. Oh, give us the money. We'll make sure it's distributed amongst the people. And then it never actually ends up that way. It's never actually distributed to the people. They never actually get it. And then what you do see is a bunch of new rockets. Or you'll see, if Iran's providing the rockets, what you'll see is a bunch of other supporting artillery. Or you'll see fancy new headquarters for the Hamas control center. But what you don't see are newer schools or improved roads or any kind of improvement to existing infrastructure. You don't see them developing the beaches of Gaza into a tourist site. You know how beautiful that would be? I'm like, you realize how much money you're missing out on? You could have, oh my gosh, people would come for miles around because not everybody, you know, Israel's beaches are a little crowded. Not all the time, but, you know, it can be crowded. You could just, you know, expand and have even, you know what I'm saying? But if you would just, nobody wants to go vacation where A, there's nowhere to vacation there, or B, when people are too busy firing off rockets at innocents and killing their own people. That's the other thing. Do you realize the body count that Hamas costs amongst its own people? The people that it's supposed to represent and care for? Yeah, we're paying. Guardian has a really good piece on this because you're not going to find this in the American press, heaven forbid. The former administration had turned off $200 million in aid. Now, Biden's restored $200 million in U.S. aid to Palestinians. Now, before you think, oh, well, you know, there are people who need it because they're about to plunge into poverty. Keep in mind that for all of the years that humanitarian groups have tried to assist and all of the countries that have sent aid, what do they have to show for it? Where does it go? And anyone who speaks up about it, you're a target of Hamas. So they're all of that. And I mean, they don't even use money and aid that they receive to provide food and clean water and help their businesses. How long? I remember when I was, oh my gosh, I think I was in high school. I know I was in college when we've had these discussions. And I'm just thinking, at what point, what is happening that they still keep requiring aid? And because they're given all millions and billions of dollars to establish infrastructure, and all after all of these years, it still hasn't been done. And especially when they have some pretty great resources near by them and on their territory. So what's happening? It's because it's being frittered away by the terrorists in the region. Remember, people who rule it get their cut first. 200 million. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot to touch on. I wasn't even joking about the taxes thing. Now you see why I loathe the IRS and think that taxation is theft. And this makes me even angrier. Here we're in a period of economic recovery, and we have $6 trillion in new spending that has no offset and cuts anywhere else. We can't even adequately help our own citizens who were forced to lock down, their economic abilities seized, and they're trying to just come back and put food on their table, operate their businesses, operate their restaurants. I read an article this morning about one business, and Greg Abbott signed the alcohol to go law yesterday. And I mean, the guy had receipts. He was like going through numbers. The reason his restaurant was able to stay alive was because of the order that was given by the governor's office that temporarily allowed alcohol to go, because apparently they had like really good mixology, which is the word, right? Yeah. So he was able to sustain his business just from that. He said that if they didn't have like kits and pre-made drinks and all of that stuff to offer, he said, we came right out of the gate with it, we would have been closed like a year ago. Isn't that unbelievable? And you can't be like, well, restaurants should be able to prepare for this. You cannot prepare for a once in a lifetime event, for something like a pandemic. Not even the richest, smartest person can do that. So no, instead of helping our own people and giving them $600 while giving the rest to entitlements, we're spending this kind of money, sending it towards Hamas. I mean, at this point, how are we any better than Iran in funding this stuff? You know, we have a lot to touch on still, because I have some CRT stuff to get into, energy. We have a lot of discussion about coronavirus and a lot more. So you don't want to miss any part of today's show. All right, folks, it's time for some spring cleaning. Toss out your old flannel, your winter doldrums, and that ratty 2020 sleepwear. It's time to put on clothes, folks. Step into comfort and a fresh new you in new Tommy John loungewear and pajamas. Loungewear is like fancy pajamas. I love my Tommy John's loungewear. It's quality comfort. And when you start every morning in Tommy John loungewear, you're just that much more comfortable. So you can do everything better. See, this is why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Tommy John loungewear and pajamas are guaranteed to fit perfectly with comfy, non-pilling micro-modal fabric, which means no lint balls or fuzz, and luxuriously soft tri-blend fabric with a four-way stretch. It's the same level of comfort and innovation that goes into everything Tommy John makes, including, ladies, their brassieres with non-slip straps, twice the adjustability of competing brands, and the softest second skin fabric for the perfect fit. Returns and exchanges are free, and right now you'll get 20% 20% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Dana. Get 20% off at TommyJohn.com/Dana. TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
I brought you this bad news yesterday. The sauce rationing, it has begun. With the Chick-fil-A sauce, don't be like, oh girl, you can get it at Target, because apparently you told everybody else that too, and everyone else can get it at Target. But they said the Chick-fil-A sauces, an email went out to all customers, and they have now they have officially a banner on their website about the sauces because of supply chain shortages that are due to labor issues. True story. So there it is. So the sauce rationing has begun. Pelosi's drug pricing plan has been stalled by centrist Democrats. According to Politico, the plan that this was one that she was pushing, there were a lot of Democrats within the House signaling opposition. Enough for her to be forced to drop these reforms as an addendum to a relief package that they wanted to pass on party lines. They weren't able to get some of those moderates on board with it. Stick with us. We got a lot in store. The president is speaking too. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Super Beats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
As part of an effort to use every possible means to accelerate fuel deliveries, last night I granted a waiver of the Jones Act to fuel suppliers. This allows non-U.S. flagged vessels to transport refined fuel products from the Gulf of Mexico to affected areas, and we'll grant additional waivers if necessary. These steps are temporary, but they will remain in place until full service is fully restored. This is a whole-of-government response to get more fuel more quickly to where it's needed and to limit the pain being felt by American customers. Now, here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected. Here's what that you can do, the drivers. Don't panic, number one. I know seeing lines at the pumps or gas stations with no gas can be extremely stressful.
You think?
But this is a temporary situation. Do not get more gas than you need in the next few days. As I said, we expect the situation to begin to improve by the weekend and into early next week, and gasoline supply is coming back online, and panic buying will only slow the process. And I also want to say something to the gas stations. Do not, I repeat, do not try to take advantage of consumers during this time. I'm going to work with governors in the affected states to put a stop to price gouging wherever it arises. And I'm asking our federal agencies to stand ready to provide assistance to state-level efforts to monitor and address any price gouging at the pump.
That is the president who is speaking right now about the Colonial Pipeline. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse. We'll keep you updated with everything. So as I said, the president speaking about the Colonial Pipeline, which was restored today. But it's still going to take some time because apparently they're having to, without getting into the weeds with it, they're having to basically restore things and manually like recode certain things, and I don't even know, by hand. I said that was a very important note that like three separate articles, no fewer than three separate articles made. I'm like, okay, that's, but the long story short, they're getting things reestablished and they're resuming operations. And if you want to know the reason why, it's because they paid that ransom. And I think that's a horrible idea. The 5,000 some odd, almost 6,000 mile pipeline, 45% of the East Coast consumption of fuel, consumption comes from that 5,000 some odd, 5,500 foot pipeline. And I mean, it's entirely significant. I had a friend yesterday who live tweeted how his car ran out of gas while he was sitting in traffic in a line down like two blocks away from a gas station. And he had to finish pushing his vehicle to the gas station to get there. He actually had driven around. He was in North Carolina, had driven around his town for a while trying to find some gas because so many were closed. And I think it's incredibly significant, the omission as to why this is resumed. Why has it all started again? Why is it resumed? Because of that ransom that was paid. And $5 million in ransom in untraceable cryptocurrency. And the FBI has said, okay, well, you can't, you know, don't pay these people because it's not good. Well, what are you supposed to do? The U.S. government made it very clear that they're not going to help out. You know, in complete, like a complete contradiction to what really is the whole nature and purpose of the government. Now, no one from Colonial actually commented to the press about it, nor the National Security Council. Colonial said that fuel shipments will resume about 5 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Central today or yesterday. So not everybody's gotten them, obviously, and it's going to take some time, like probably all throughout the weekend before everything is at this point fully fueled and everything is operating at regular standard. I was looking at, and the payment was made to that Russian cybercrime group called Darkside, and they do, ransomware attacks, it's just digital extortion. And so they will hold systems hostage until they receive a particular whatever the price is, until they receive a particular payment. So the White House, their cybersecurity official, Ann Noberger, had said that, well, she actually wouldn't say whether or not she felt that companies should actually pay these ransoms. She said that we get that companies are in very difficult positions, and if their data is encrypted and they don't have backups and can't recover the data, she said that it's a difficult thing. That doesn't tell me anything, you know? I mean, it doesn't tell me absolutely anything at all. I mean, they said there was a report that was released by securityandtechnology.org that said that last month, they released this last month. They said that their ransomware task force said that the amount that victims of ransomware attacks are paying has increased by 311%. And that's just since last year. So it's about $350 million in cryptocurrency when you look at the total amount of ransom paid. And the average ransom paid by organizations in 2020 was $312,000, a little over $312,000. Now, Colonial's pipeline is the largest fuel pipeline in the United States. Now, they also apparently started looking at paying the ransom almost immediately after this happened. We don't really have a firm grasp of the timeline on this, but they started looking into it almost immediately. And I don't know who it was that chose the very difficult to trace cryptocurrency option. I don't know, but apparently they looked into it within hours and paid it. And it's just taken this long because of the manual encryption. So the thing that really sticks out to me, and this is in the original, and I don't like the publisher of this or namesake of Bloomberg News, but I want to read this sentence too. It says, Wednesday, media outlets, including Washington Post and Reuters, also based on anonymous sources, because they all cited anonymous sources, reported that the company had no immediate intention of paying the ransom. Now, I this is why I hate like the anonymous sourcing. I understand it in whistleblower incidents, but it's really, the press has really taken liberties with this, because now an anonymous source can just be a campaign operative. It can be a PR firm telling people that they hear anonymous sources talking about somebody doing something. We've seen that happen just like this week. So this, I don't trust it. And why in the world would they try to push that narrative? Well, they have no intention of paying it. Is it, and I'm trying to be very generous in exploring this, are they saying that publicly because they want other cybercrime outfits to think that? And do you honestly think that there's like some kind of code of honor that cybercrime outfits, if they find that one group was paid off, but the public messaging is that we don't negotiate with terrorists and we're not going to pay you off, do you think that they're not going to tell the world that their friend, that the, this other group they know of was paid off? So there's no way that you can look at that and think that that would work. The public messaging being completely different from the fact, because the cybercrime groups, in order to be terrifying, they have to waive the ransom paid as like a scalp taken. That's how it's done. So that it just doesn't work. So this is not good for, I would imagine that 311% is going to vastly increase. Listen, I you know, absolutely. Good heavens. So a lot of things here. And I also, to get into some of the coronavirus, I asked this question a little bit earlier. And if it seems like I've had like zero tolerance or mercy for stupid people who ask dumb questions online, it's because I have zero mercy or tolerance for stupid people who ask dumb questions online. So my friend Luke Rosiak, he fully stated, he goes, okay, conspiracy theory. Now, before I begin, let me set this up. You do realize, and I'm saying this for the drive-bys in the back, you do realize that you can suggest something as a point of discussion and immediately announce that you are begging the question by using that logical fallacy correctly, so that you can have a wider conversation about an issue, correct? We all understand this is nuance so far dead that we can't grasp this. So my friend Luke Rosiak, who is a fantastic investigative reporter, he tweeted this about an hour ago. He goes, conspiracy theory. Like he's doing this on purpose. He says, is it possible that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris actually refused to get the real vaccine and that's why they wear masks? If they trusted the vaccine is both safe and effective, wouldn't they get the vaccine and stop wearing them? Because, and he asks a good question, because the messaging from the administration has been bad. And the CDC, even when Trump was president, their messaging was horrible. The messaging under Biden has been awful. Your first pregnant women should get vaccinated, then they shouldn't get vaccinated. Then certain women who are in this demo and have these health concerns, you should do this vaccine and not, maybe not this one or this one. And I mean, it's just, it's so much. There's nowhere to go to get like one comprehensive rundown for everything, and don't say the CDC website, because half the time they don't even update it from old restrictions or guidelines. But he makes a good point. When you have bad messaging from the administration, and this is what his point in making this was for the couple of people that I ripped their throats out of rhetorically. His point is that bad messaging means you're going to get questions like this. And it's true. When you are telling everyone, your CDC director is out there saying, hey, if you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear your mask outside. Stop. And when he's like, yeah, I've been vaccinated, everyone should get it. Also, wear the masks outside. And he still does it. You realize that as the leader of the free world, people are going to ask him questions. Okay, why are you doing something that's in contradiction of what your CDC director said? These are reasonable, just good, decent folks who they're not trying to pick a fight and they're not trying to make a point. They're sincerely asking for their own well-being and for their family's own well-being. They're not trying to do it to be mean. And when you see that sort of messaging, you can't get mad at people. Because they're looking to the leaders that they either elected or at least respect the election thereof, because they're the shepherds kind of on this stuff, you know? And when they're inconsistent, it creates doubt and it creates questions. But he brings up a good point. I mean, how are you projecting trust in the efficacy of your vaccine if you're still acting like you've never had it? And that's just the point that he brings up. And during the campaign, did you notice during the campaign because I don't think that Joe Biden always wore a cloth mask. I think Kamala Harris did. I think she kind of went back and forth. But I went back and I was looking at pictures of him because someone was like, has he worn N95s before? And I went back and looked, and at so many different campaign events, he was wearing an N95. And then later he just was, I haven't seen him in an N95 since the election. Oh, I take that. I think maybe when he was at the inauguration, when he was like back in the holding room before they walk them out on the Capitol, and then they go and he, you know, swears on the Bible and all of that. I think he was wearing one back there. But that's, you know, that's another thing. It just, there's just brings up all these questions because he had already had the vaccine at that point. He had the vaccine before the election. And I've got questions, and it makes people question stuff. And then things like this, like for instance, the CDC, this is why I'm saying that bad messaging and no transparency makes people distrustful. The CDC lied about the transmission risk outdoors. And the New York Times actually went after them over this. The New York Times. They said that the CDC, they said exaggerated, and then they just straight up said lied later on in the article. I think they were just tired of saying exaggerated. They said the CDC exaggerated outdoor COVID transmission risk by saying less than 10% of infections happen outside when the true risk is below 1%. That's a pretty significant number difference. And so the New York Times blasted the agency. They said that they used misleading data to keep Americans in masks. Again, I just want to point back that this came out of the New York Times. If you see a pig flying outside your window, be scared. They said that the research that the CDC cited in defense of a study found that the research that the CDC was using to defend their point said 95 of more than 10,000 cases in Singapore occurred outdoors. However, the Singapore Ministry of Health, when contacted by the New York Times, contradicted the CDC. And they said, no, wait a minute, you did not read this correctly. We did not classify this as being outdoors. And sometimes we said enclosed, like outdoor places, not outdoors or in big rooms, not like outdoors. And they never actually amended that article with that correction. And this is used in, you know, we talked yesterday to the Missouri Attorney General who is suing the St. Louis County Executive, Sam Page, and their director, their Department of Health director, because of stuff like this. The restrictions that they have are literally based on this stuff. And the New York Times is saying that it's wrong and that the CDC screwed it up. And then you have other countries whose studies that they are citing interfere and say, wait a minute, you didn't even cite our study or our findings correctly. That's a huge deal.
It's the Dana Show.
Are you briefed on the fact that the company did pay the ransom?
I have no comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Because they did, though. They did. Yeah, they did. Just saying. Teen Vogue is a phrase that should never exist. And here's why. Here's a tweet from them on May 11th. Quote, the history of police violence enacted on unarmed black and brown citizens by American law enforcement mirrors the history of Israel treating Palestinians as violent insurgents. I have never known an unarmed black or brown citizen to just start bombing other people and launching rockets at other people and going and carrying out stabbing and fatahs. I've never. I mean, are they saying something that news hasn't previously broken, or are they stupid? A or B?
B.
It's B. Thank you. Why? Stop with the dumb comparisons. I feel like, you know what the one of the biggest pandemics in the world is besides the coronavirus? It's stupidity. We have a lot more to get into. Don't go anywhere because we got GOP and all kinds of stuff. And just don't go anywhere. We're overloaded today. More of the Dana Show.
But you do agree with your predecessors that white supremacist extremists remain the most persistent lethal threat in the homeland.
I do believe they do at this time, Mr. Chairman.
And Attorney General Garland, do you agree?
I do, and that's the most recent assessment of the FBI.
So that's the Attorney General Merrick Garland and DHS Secretary Mayorkas. I mean, Kane's dying. We haven't even started the hour. Welcome to the show, Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse, because I wrote about this last night over on Ye Old Newsletter. What, you're already, you cringed enough for everybody out in the radio audience. What's up? You're not happy with...
Yeah, it's, we have all of these issues thanks to Biden's, you know, policies and executive orders, and we're seeing not only a crisis at the border, but we're seeing prices go up, inflation, craziness, yet somehow white supremacy is the country's biggest problem.
Well, I do agree that Democrats can be problematic.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
And I'm not saying that to be mean, I'm just being historically accurate. I mean, who was against women, me voting and Rachel voting? I mean, who took indigenous Americans and put them on the trail of genocide? I mean, you know, we could go back. I had ancestors on the Dawes roll. So unlike Elizabeth Warren, her family can take 1,000 seats. I mean, it's, if you want to go and, I mean, who, Robert Byrd, he was the grand wizard? Unicorn, whatever they call them, people with, that are in their made up group.
Poopa? I don't know.
Grand is what is a, what is it? Is a poopa somebody else's thing?
I think that's somebody else.
A cyclops?
Oh wait, is that it?
I don't know. A minotaur? Is he the grand minotaur?
That sounds like it could be right.
Sounds like it could be right. Anyway, or was, because he's dead in worm food now. Robert Byrd. Nobody cares.
Who eulogized him though? Anybody?
Our president.
Oh, is that who did it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the former like head Klan person.
Yeah.
So, and to say nothing of Bill Clinton, who played in a whites-only golf club in the 90s until he was busted by the New York Times in 1993. And then he realized, wait a minute, I didn't realize that there were no people of color allowed here. I just thought it just happened to be white people all around. So, I just, out of every, I mean, does nobody watch what was happening with the rioting and the burning and the businesses that were totally destroyed? Which, they were in minority communities, by the way.
Yeah.
I feel like that needs to be really reinforced, because there were many minority businesses that were totally destroyed. You would have these like white progressive anarchists, white Marxists that would come in from Chicago, elsewhere. They had this, it's the same faction of people that go in and they hijack it. Like, this is what happened in Ferguson, in Kane's hometown. Literally, he's from Ferguson, Missouri. And my aunt lived there until she sold her house. And they acted like it was, the media treated it like it was such a bad neighborhood. You had people who were engaged in peaceful protests, and they just wanted to work on relations between the community and the police department. And then all of a sudden, these like grifters from nowhere came in and started issuing press releases. They didn't even at first know these the original people who were putting on the peaceful protest. The original people took to social media to complain about these out-of-state grifters that came in, and nobody paid attention to that. And then they set up that with the organization, Missouri's Organizing for Whatever, to pay people to come in from out of state to riot. And then when those people didn't get their paychecks, they launched it, trended on Twitter, hashtag cut the check, Google it. They protested outside of those offices because they wanted their paychecks. This is what I'm talking about. It's like a total, nobody paid attention to that takeover and everything that happened. Like in the past several years, or last summer, the summer of rioting. And you have, I mean, if you look at Portland or Seattle on any given night, you are going to see like middle-aged Marxist hipsters who wear $200 True Religion jeans while wearing Yeezys and with their iPhones. And then they're trying to throw trash cans through the windows of an H&M, you know, because, you know, for equality or something. And then you have like the other people who are protesting that aren't even a part of BLM saying, like, can you stop destroying everything? I mean, there have been these encounters on video. So to have Garland and Mayorkas say this is one of the dumbest things I think I've ever. It's no. But I do agree that I think that melanin challenged Democrats are fine. I'll agree with you. It's a domestic security threat. And I'm just being consistent with the entirety of white supremacist history, because every bigot that I've ever known has been a Democrat. Every sexist I've ever known has been a Democrat. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, Robert Byrd, as we just talked about, eulogized by our current president. He was a white supremacist and a Democrat. The judge who sought to deny natural rights to Black Americans in the Dred Scott case, Roger Taney, he was a big old white supremacist and a big old Democrat. I will say this, though. I think that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party can be very stupid parties, because every party can be. And it's particularly nauseating right now to watch, as all of this is happening, the Republican Party squander any kind of opportunities on messaging during the worst 100 days of any administration in the modern era. It is awful. You have rockets raining down on Israel because of the Iran-financed terror group Hamas that we also fund, because that was one of the things that Joe Biden turned the spigot back on that was shut down during the Trump administration, because Hamas doesn't think that Israel has the right to exist. You had the Colonial Pipeline flatlined because Russia was acting through a proxy cybercrime outfit. Inflation has jumped by over 4%, and that's the largest, second largest spike since World War II. And Democrats are crying about identity politics and how white people are super dangerous, while Republicans are engaging in the political equivalent of an all-out Ozark slap fight on grandma's front lawn while all the neighbors across the hall are watch. That's what's happening right now. I mentioned this today, or actually yesterday. Axios had tweeted, GOP Rep. Liz Cheney, quote, "Today we face a threat America has never seen before, former president, blah, 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 blah." And I had tweeted, considering the news of Hamas attacking Israel, the Colonial Pipeline, jobs numbers, this seems like a weird focus. But the media is doing all it can to avoid talking about all of these multiple crises engulfing the administration. Especially the border. Remember, the border is not a crisis. No, what? I mean, again, you have Israel and Hamas on the brink of full-scale war. So the media is focusing on Liz Cheney so they don't have to talk about the failures of the first 100 days. And Liz Cheney is all too eager to help. I say this not as someone who has anything personal against her. This is just fact-based observation. I don't like to see people make mistakes that can be avoided. And if it's on purpose, oh my gosh. No, instead of unifying on strong messaging, condemning Hamas and just trolling Russia over the ransomware attack that we know they're behind, but we can't say that we know they're behind just yet. No, Republicans are arguing who gets to sit on the House Republican conference throne. So let me ask you all this. How many of you out there, without DuckDuckGoing, right? That works? DuckDuckGoing? Or Googling, can tell me what the GOP conference does? How many of you actually even care? That's right, because no one cares. No one cares. No one cares. I care more about how doorknobs are made than I do about how the GOP conference works. Because the conference chair, they control the messaging and they have their meetings and blah, 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 all this other stuff. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. We're trying to feed kids and keep roofs over our houses and everything else. Nobody cares. The price of groceries is going higher than Hunter Biden right now. And the GOP is arguing over homecoming court. It's an indulgent and tone-deaf exercise of stupidity to do this. Now, I expect Democrats to do stupid things, because this is the party who allowed a bartending congresswoman who doesn't know how combustion engines work to literally write legislation that verbatim, and I'm not making this up, I'm not exaggerating, bans cow flatulence. Looking at the PDF that I saved. This is the party that cares so much about the environment. They believe that outsourcing the process of mining for cobalt to little kids in the Democratic Republic of Congo and the mining of other rare earth elements to the forced labor camps in Xinjiang, countries with zero environmental or worker protections, that means that they're taking care of the environment. What I do not expect is for the GOP to reduce themselves to equal levels of stupidity over who controls their messaging, because nothing demonstrates concern over messaging like a giant public fight about messaging. Am I right? I mean, like I said, I don't dislike Cheney. We follow each other on Twitter. I follow, full disclosure, several politicians, which is nothing more than just indicative of me wanting to keep an eye on what they do. But this, her strategy here and some of these other Republican strategies, is just totally tone deaf. I mean, if her strategy is to wait Trump out, like I've said, she doesn't understand the battlefield, because he's a symptom of the voters. He is the voters' ire and disgust manifest into one person who goes after Democrats and media and, you know, et cetera. I mean, you can get mad all you want to over his locker room talk, and then go ahead and compare locker room talk to playing cigar games in the Oval Office or abandoning a woman to die in a pond or screwing your secretary in China during a diplomatic trip over Christmas while your wife contemplates killing herself by driving headfirst into a tree. I mean, I reject the idea that somehow secrecy sanctifies sin and magically makes them virtues, even though that's how society treats the sins of Bill Clinton and Teddy Kennedy and George H.W. Bush and, dare I even say, George W. Bush. Get obsessively mad and distracted over his tweets or his remarks about other lawmakers while Democrats break down vital protections in the FISA court and continue spying on private citizens. One of my goals in life, and I'm not even exaggerating, is to yell, but at least there are no more mean tweets, am I right? To somebody who is madder over mean tweets than domestic surveillance as they're dragged off to jail because the government caught them smoking pot through their laptop camera while they Minecrafted. Trump has no power by himself. He didn't. It came from voters. He scared the hell out of the stuffed shirt country club GOP sect, and he became the avatar for a diversified coalition, which is the proper way, by the way, to describe building a bigger tent of people. You know, black, white, Asian, gay, straight, goth, prep, punk, Christian, atheist, who just want to be left alone. Like, to quote The Godfather, sort of, leave the guns, take the government regulations. So for Republicans to continue winning seats, this coalition has to stay intact. It's almost like some people in the GOP don't want this to happen. And I just attribute this to the moves that I've seen many of them make over the past couple of weeks. These are moves made by people who want to destroy a coalition and drive off voters. Cheney is not going to outlast Trump's influence because it's not Trump's influence. It's voters' influence. If it wasn't for Trump, there would be somebody else like him. So people need to choose wisely and make wiser decisions. Coming up, we're going to speak about the latest with Energy and Colonial Pipeline. We're going to talk to an actual Colonial Pipeline gas expert person. We reached out. We only bring you the best, everybody. It's an expert. I'm not saying this as a pejorative. He's a severe nerd about gas and tech and structure, infrastructure. Actual infrastructure. We're going to talk to Damon Small about this coming up. And later on, cancel culture. I have a really dumb story for you on this that your jaw is going to drop down on. So you don't want to miss it. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa, and then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so apparently I was looking at this. The CDC is now going to, after they were shamed publicly, they're going to ease up on guidance about indoor mask wearing. I swear we're all going to jump off my roof. That's what's going to happen. Like, America is at its limit, okay? America is about to pull the car over and deal with you in the back seat. America is about to take off the flip-flop and come at you with it. Just saying. So this is from the Associated Press. They said the CDC is going to ease indoor mask wearing guidance for fully vaccinated people. Oh, for the love. I can't even finish reading it. It's so ridiculous. Crypto market tanks after Tesla suspends Bitcoin payments. There's a lot of, I have no idea why you would. I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend. I don't even know. And I really don't care. Do you care?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it. I mean, he was just apparently aware of Bitcoin mining being bad for the environment. So I'm guessing he's just had an epiphany.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he can do what he wants. It's, yeah, right? It's, oh, unless people are going to start telling him to make the cake. I'm just curious, right? Isn't that how it goes? Private businesses and all. He published a note on Twitter and he said he's still personally a believer in Bitcoin. He said he's concerned about the role of fossil fuels in Bitcoin mining. It's a common criticism made by environmentalists against Bitcoin. They said cryptocurrency is a great idea on many levels. This is what he tweeted. He goes, it has a promising future, but it can't come as a great cost to the environment. So They said that they're not going to sell any Bitcoin, and we intend to use it for transactions as soon as mining transitions to a more sustainable energy. So there you go. I don't know what's happening in Australia. You guys have big, terrifying, super poisonous spiders. You have kangaroos are mean, apparently. Did you know that? Do you know koalas were mean too? Yeah. In Australia, the cute animals are mean and the not cute animals are terrifying. So there are dead and live mice raining from the sky. Yeah, so it's a horrifying, I couldn't even watch like 5 seconds of it. It's a horrible video. But it was after a silo was being cleaned out on farmland and there was a huge pump in the air, and it shows, I mean, it's just raining mice falling along with the grains, and some of them run off, and then the ones who don't, well, you know why, because they can't. So, oh, that's diversity, civil rights. It's the civil rights division within the DOJ. In fact, they're one of the Biden officials, she's also a civil rights educator, is under investigation for making a Nazi analogy in a policing discussion. Can we stop trying to reduce the horror of the Holocaust by saying everything is like Nazis? Is it just possible? Dr. Kara Hunt, Director of Education and Outreach for Maryland Commission of Civil Rights. Yeah, she's the one who's now being investigated. Okay, all your pipeline questions coming up. Stay with us.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Are you briefed on the fact that the company did pay the ransom?
I have no comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and so much for that. It was weirdly presented. That was the president who maybe 20 minutes ago, 25 minutes ago, he was asked about that ransom and the ransomware attack against Colonial Pipeline. He was asked whether or not the company paid it. And the administration has been kind of sketchy about this. He's like, I have no comment on that. Well, we know that they did. Right. And even though the Washington Post and Reuters were saying that at first that they had no intention of it, it was like hours afterwards that they did. And apparently they're still having to like manually restore everything because they didn't actually get what they paid for, apparently. Like, they didn't actually get full control over everything and they had to kind of start from scratch. This is where it gets technical. I know what I know and I know what I don't know. I can sit here and tell you about 2A law and how every single firearm works, you know, to the moon and back. But when it comes to this stuff, we were like, we need to actually talk to somebody who knows what's going on here. So we reached out to cybersecurity expert Damon Small, and he's got a really long history in this. He's worked in InfoSec and energy and cybersecurity, and he speaks binary code. So he's joining us now via Skype. Damon, it's good to see you. Thank you for joining us. So this... So I know you and others have been saying that this was kind of a long time coming, an attack like this on, you know, the biggest pipeline in the country. Talk to us a little bit about this, because these consequences seem so extraordinary. And the one thing that we were talking about yesterday, when DarkSide, the cybercrime outfit that did all of this, when they issued their statement and they were explaining that they didn't mean to really target an entity like the Colonial Pipeline, the way that they worded it, and I don't know if I was wearing a tinfoil hat, but it almost sounded like they were trying to bait all these other smaller outfits into all these other smaller businesses into trying to latch on or get involved with some kind of like bigger, like, I don't know, federal infrastructure or what, as a way, as like in lieu of any kind of actual protection or beefing up the security of their infrastructure. Talk to me about your thoughts about all of this and why this was so apparently not paid attention to.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, by the way. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy morning. As you mentioned, a lot of news has broken already. So I've been busy, you know, trying to pay attention and absorb all this in. I think you're right. This has been a long time coming. Maintaining the infrastructure that supports something like a pipeline or a refinery, these are very complicated systems, and it's much more difficult to support and to protect than, say, the IT systems. And by that, I mean, you know, OT is the operational technology, IT is more the traditional sort of business technology, email, web servers, and those sorts of things. And you're right, when DarkSide came out and said, oops, we're just for the money, we are not a political organization, I think that was a signal that, you know, for this criminal enterprise, for this business model, if you will, to work, it depends on the victim organization to quietly pay the ransom and then go away. So I don't think this is the kind of attention DarkSide wanted, that which suggests that they stumbled across a vulnerable device, or they ran a successful phishing campaign and somehow gained unauthorized access to the IT network of the Colonial Pipeline Company, and then used that to start pivoting around and taking their data hostage. So there's a lot of assumptions we could make right now, and I'm resisting the urge to do so. You know, I'm the computer scientist, I deal in empirical data, right. But man, it's been a ride. We haven't seen something like this in this country for sure.
Yeah, definitely not. And I hope that I feel like cybersecurity is sort of treated like the redheaded stepchild in a way. When people are talking about infrastructure and improving systems, we're talking about the cybersecurity and Colonial Pipeline with our guest Damon Small. Damon, I wanted to ask you too. So why is it taking, because I read it, so what I've been reading about the timeline of this is that after, like hours, I guess, after Colonial Pipeline was notified that this ransomware attack occurred and they couldn't get control of their system, that they had paid the ransom, but yet it's still taking them all this time to get their operations reestablished. If you're paid the ransom, you get control back, right? Isn't that how it works?
That's the other part of this criminal enterprise that has to work properly if it's going to continue to be successful moving forward, is that once they pay the ransom, they have to get their data back. And you're right. I saw it was just this morning, I think it was Bloomberg that reported that something close to $5 million mm-hmm. had been paid. And you're correct. I also saw that they're still restoring from backup. So the good news is it means Colonial Pipeline Company had backups that they could use to restore. That's good news. And it also is telling because it means that the organization believed that the $5 million was a more cost-effective way to get back in business quickly. Now, obviously, that money's gone. Mm-hmm. It was cryptocurrency of some sort. They're not likely to track down who these adversaries are. So yeah, it's an interesting story, and it makes one wonder. People like me are wondering, how did they get in? Was it a vulnerable computer, or was it phishing and they preyed on human error? Both of those scenarios are likely, and we've seen them be successful. We've just never seen them be successful in a way that impacts regular people on a day-to-day basis, you know, having to stand in line for gasoline and yeah. those sorts of things. So I think that's why it's grabbed everyone's attention. This sort of thing in my industry happens often, but it's interesting to other computer nerds generally.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading about this. They said that since 2021, the increase in, I think, ransomware attacks has gone up by something like 311%. And there's a lot of money involved in paying off these ransoms.
If you go back to the beginning of my career, which was something like 25 years ago, cyber criminals existed, but it was high-tech vandalism. You know, they would deface a website. Right. And put a rude picture up, you know, those sorts of things. And you're like, ha ha, you got me. And then you fix it and you move on with your life. You're spot on. It sounds dramatic when you use words like, you know, cyber criminal. Notice I haven't used the word hacker because mm-hmm. in my industry, a lot of people, hackers are people like me. We're trying to do the right thing. Right. We're trying to help organizations. We're trying to protect our country's critical information assets. So now you're right. It is organized crime. Let's be clear here. These folks, DarkSide said it themselves. We are in for the money. We are not a political organization. They just want the payout, and they're going to go and do it again. Now, the fact that the decryption keys did not work in this case, apparently, you know, we're still gathering facts. That's a little damning because that's going to make the next victim, I think, a little less likely to quickly whip out their checkbook. Hopefully it'll be a wake-up call also for similar organizations across the energy spectrum of industries to make sure that they've got good backups, make sure they have good vulnerability management, they're aware of potential exploits that could be used to gain unauthorized access to their infrastructure and so on. So it's a complicated problem for sure.
One thing that you said, we're talking with Damon Small, cybersecurity expert, about this Colonial Pipeline story. One of the things that you said that really stuck out to me, and it's the simplicity of it, because really, ultimately, you could have the beefiest, you know, security system, the beefiest setup in the world, but you still have human error. I mean, you still have, you know, somebody who's like, what's this link do? And they're going to click on it. Yeah. And then you've compromised, you know, who knows what. That's kind of, I mean, that's also unsettling to think about, because, you know, even then it comes down to human error.
Absolutely. And the bad guys know this. They're very good at psychologically understanding what is going to entice someone to click on that link. Mm. Again, we're making an assumption that it was phishing, but it absolutely could have been phishing, and you could argue that it's almost likely that it was. But yeah, back to the point of, humans, we talk about all these technical controls like firewalls, yeah. And we have these network, we have all this fancy stuff. As it turns out, the weakest component often sits between the keyboard and the chair.
That's right.
And that's us.
That is right.
The chair keyboard interface will always be the weakest link, unfortunately.
Golly. And there's no way to, I mean, this sounds almost robotic and too clinical. There's no way to remedy that. There's no way to remove that situation. You just got to tell people not be goofy.
Be suspicious. Understand that the internet is a bad neighborhood and you can't trust anything. It is, not to be flippant about it, but I mean, we always, in my industry, we always talk about user training and running internal exercises to get your users accustomed to what a phishing campaign might look like. I don't have a moral high ground to stand on, because I know lots of information security professionals that have fallen for such exercises within organizations. So I can't, and people might come out of the woodwork if they hear this and say, oh, no, I'm a pro like you and I've never fallen for that. I mean, human nature is a fickle thing, and the criminals know this. And so we've got to focus on, there was an executive order from President just yesterday mm-hmm. talking about cybersecurity in this country. And so there's going to be technical things, there's going to be regulatory things, but yes, at the end of the day, it's human behavior, that chair keyboard interface.
Yeah, and we've seen the consequences of this as well. Damon Small, it's a pleasure to speak with you. We'd love to pick your brain again, because I have a feeling, especially now that this ransom was paid and everything has been made public, maybe it's going to increase in frequency, at least publicly, now that it'll, with groups like this, but biggest pipeline in the country, a lot of people are going to be talking about this for a long time. Damon, thanks so much for your time today. It was a real pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Of course. Take care.
Ditch the legacy media and Unfree Press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were at the classical school right down the road in the other part of town here. They had a normal school year, okay? And so I think that's where we need to be. I think a lot of schools have gone in that direction now. But, here's these kids do not need to be wearing these masks, okay? I'm sorry, they don't. We need to be able to let them be kids and let them act normally. And that's what should be the case in the fall throughout the school year.
It's America's dad, everybody, Ron DeSantis. Governor Ron DeSantis, America's dad. He just doesn't have time for your crap. He just, he wants to get back to like the kids going into school. I remarked and I asked my husband about this because we watched some news thing yesterday, and he came on and he just had, it was kind of funny because he just had this expression, like when your dad or it is just done with you, like, yeah, well, and it's like two steps away from maybe the voice going up. And he was answering some question and he was being real cool about it, but he's done with your crap. He's done with it. Like with the masks and the shutting of things getting shut down and no business and no nothing. Oh man. Oh, by the way, I have the most, it's almost too long to go into, and I may go into it in depth tomorrow. My friend Charles Cook over at National Review, I'm going to send this in the newsletter because you guys have to read this before we talk about it. It is I felt like I was reading, do you were a profile of Glenn Close from that movie in Fatal Attraction? And it has to do with this, the chick who got in trouble because Rebecca Jones, she tried to act like she was this coronavirus whistleblower in Florida. Chick literally had, like, some dude got a restraining order against her. dudes don't get restraining orders against chicks unless those chicks are crazy. Yep. I mean, you have to be a certain level of crazy. The stuff this girl did, there's a reason why not even Florida Democrats came out in defense of her. Yep. This is one of the craziest things I've ever read. And we've got to go. I don't want to use my whole Florida segment, although she's a Florida woman. I mean, she actually like tried to take over the dashboard and she lied that controlled how the data was distributed. And she lied and blamed a black doctor for telling her to manipulate raw data when she didn't even have the ability to adjust raw data. She just simply got a printed readout of it. And she created a mirror dashboard to fabricate the way that the numbers looked so that it would look like something was being manipulated. And she kept going to the press and her superiors were like, can you stop being crazy? And they kept telling her, stop it over and over again. And it wasn't until she accused one of their doctor, one of their top docs of ordering her to manipulate data. And she was just telling this stuff crazily to the press that she was fired. There's a reason why you haven't seen Charles Notes any deep dives about Florida's real numbers, because nobody misrepresented anything. What Governor DeSantis said is what you, I mean, that's what was happening. This story, it's a long story because that's how many crazy things this chick has done. Like, I didn't even get to where she was like the guy who took out the restraining order against her. She went after his mom. Like, I didn't even get into that. Like, that's the level of crazy that we're dealing with. I could have told him immediately, she looks crazy. She's got crazy eyes, dude. Don't buy her a drink. Don't talk to her. Stay away from her. We're a really good judge of character of crazy broads here at the Dana Show. It's a skill that we offer to America. All right. So, gosh, this story. I want you to read it, and then we're going to talk about it in depth tomorrow, because it's, if you like tea being spilled, this is your day. It's amazing. All right. It's time for Florida Man. I could go on about this forever.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-mm-mm. Some of the stuff that you get me, that you send to me, by the way, came. A Florida man crashes a stolen police car and then decides to steal another one and continue the pursuit. So Xavier Cummings, 33, he's in jail now, no bond. He was arrested on suspicion of burglary, eluding law enforcement, possession of a firearm by a felon because he's a prohibited possessor, firearm theft, and also another felony, motor vehicle theft, driving with a suspended license, all according to inmate records. Doesn't seem like he has a lawyer. The chase started when Cocoa, Florida police were called to a disturbance at a hotel. And then as they got out, like somebody got in and took their car. And the Volusia County Sheriff's Office said that they joined the chase. One of the cruisers pushed the sedan off Interstate 95. It became stuck in the woods. But then the suspect got out and found apparently another empty car because they were all like there by the road, ran into it and sped off. And so they deployed stop sticks. Then finally they stopped him. And then he was captured. He was very, very determined. Also, I mean, I know maybe they got to make quick getaways, but is there some kind of like auto locking system so this doesn't happen? I don't know. Stick with us. We got more in store.
I will say that this is a time to be sensible and to be safe. Of course, we understand the concern in the areas where people are encountering temporary supply disruptions. But hoarding does not make things better. And under no circumstances should gasoline ever be put into anything but a vehicle directly or an approved container. And that, of course, remains true no matter what else is going on.
I'm glad that he's been relegated to just talking about where to put gas. That's Mayor Poot Buttigieg. Again, we honor the Lawrence O'Donnell pronunciation. He is the Shakespeare of MSNBC commentary, everyone. Right. Don't besmirch the MSNBC Shakespearean television man. Welcome back to the show. It's third hour. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. I've been made of just like absolute sarcasm. I am entirely 100%, 99% made of sarcasm. And then the other 1% is like 10 Super Beach juice. That's what I'm made of today. Not even exaggerating. I had a lot of them. I had so many, my tongue was purple. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah, it turned like a light purple color. Or maybe it was a dark red. I can't tell the difference. But anyway, welcome to the show, danalash.com. And it's been a crazy week because we're preparing, and I'll tell you more about this, for the launch on Monday of a new hour of programming separate from radio for the first. And I'm excited to tell you what we've been doing. But also, I'm also excited for people to not put gas in bags. I mean, I know that gas bag is a phrase, but it's not a literal thing. There have been a lot of videos of this. And there's a reason why you put it on the ground. You have to, you know, to pour your gas in. I saw a video of somebody using a Rubbermaid. They call them the tote containers.
No.
The with the lid.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. I don't think that's right. And then someone on Twitter was arguing with someone who had tweeted it to me, saying that it's made of the same stuff that those red bottles are. The red with the yellow spout. I'm like, it's not, though. But I can't. I don't have time for this. I just, or the energy. And even if it meant saving the world to engage in a conversation with this person, I would let the asteroids come.
But does government have to tell us all the things we should be doing?
I think that it is a horrible indictment of humans that government has to tell you basic everyday things.
Yeah, don't eat Tide Pods. Thanks, government.
Yeah, like don't eat bleach. Like basic things. The reason that government expands is because you let it.
Yep.
That's just all there is to it. The reason that government came in and said, we got to take care of the poor, is because not enough people were doing their duty to their fellow man voluntarily. Oh, yeah, I took it down Sirius Street, and now we're going. I'm going to slow it down to 35 mile per hour. For real, though. It's a horrible indictment of people. So, on the by audio soundbite 13, when the president was talking about the gas crisis, somehow it went to education. Is that right?
I also point out that I think what this shows is that I think we have to make a greater investment in education as it relates to being able to train and graduate more people proficient in cybersecurity.
Okay, I feel.
Is he saying learn to code? Because that's what I'm hearing.
That's what it kind of sounded like.
I'm hearing learn to code.
I heard that as well. Okay, so that's, there you have it. Learn to code. We've been talking a lot about the energy, a lot about, a million things. And I wanted to get into some of the cancel culture stuff also because one story just grabbed my attention and I realized that I needed to go and talk about cancel culture. How many of you eat breakfast cereal? Do you like breakfast cereal? Does anybody eat breakfast cereal anymore?
I haven't eaten cereal in a while, but I do like breakfast cereal.
Man, I love me some Cheerios. You give me a good old bowl of Cheerios and I'm set for the day.
Honey,
I swear they should advertise
Honey Nut or just plain old Cheerios?
Either one. I don't even care. I don't even have a preference.
I prefer Honey Nut.
I mean, I like Honey Nut. If I had to have a cereal. Now, if you were asking 10-year-old Dana, it would just be only the marshmallows from Lucky Charms. And that's what I would have. So Kellogg's, the Kellogg people, the Kellogg cereal people, because not enough things in life are ruined. So they thought, you know what? Let's ruin more things. Right? Let's politicize every aspect of life. So you want to die. Let's do that. So they released a cereal and they announced it last month that they soft launched it basically last month. And I don't care. Look, I don't care what people want to do. And I really don't even care what companies want to do. But unless you're making a box of edible flipping glitter, you don't have to rainbow pride up everything. Okay. Now, if this is breakfast cereal glitter, okay, then I will give you that. Or if it's just literally only a bowl of marshmallow rainbows, then okay. But it's like the Frosted Flakes and the Rice Krispies. Why? I mean, can you just make the damn cereal? Let kids eat the damn cereal and just stop preaching about everything. I would say this to you if you were on the right or left. Just stop. Can we have some places where we go where we don't have to deal with this? Like, you took sports away and you made it to where everybody is mad at each other about everything except what's happening on the court or the field or the pitch or whatever. Stop. So it's all about like the virtue signaling. It's the you know how they do the all inclusive whatever, which I think if you just treat people nice and you don't act like jerks, then how would you shouldn't have a problem. But then there's more. Wait, I know this is the saddest little sound ever. this, I let me pull this up because my link just disappeared. I don't watch American Idol, but apparently one of the guys that was going to be on, he's a 16-year-old, and this is from a couple of different places. His name is Caleb Kennedy is his name. He was a finalist on American Idol, which I totally don't watch. The only time I will ever watch karaoke is if someone is off tune and they are inebriated. And it said that, so this guy, his name's Caleb Kennedy, he's 16 years old. And apparently, he, at one point, like I guess a couple of years ago, he had watched the movie called The Strangers Pray at Night. And one of them, I can't even believe we're talking about this. Go, look, do yourself a favor if you're not driving in your car. Google Strangers the Prey at Night and look at like the scary, the antagonist in that movie. So he dressed up as one of those characters for Halloween. Now, the characters include like two chicks in a clown mask and then a guy who looks like Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas. It's like he's got a
flower sack over
his head. Oh, you guessed it. Apparently, I mean, he dresses in regular clothes. He doesn't have like a robe or cape or whatever, but he just wears a sack over his head. And the other two were wearing these creepy like white plastic clown face things. And so he dressed up as that character for Halloween when like a couple of years ago. And apparently that got out and they said he was dressing up as a Klans member. And so he's off American Idol.
What?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
And they were even apparently talking about how it was part of the movie, like in the video. And that's because I don't think that anybody would willingly, well, I don't know. Maybe there's some people stupid enough to. I don't think anybody would willingly do that and display that like that and then make a video of themselves.
Especially
right?
Especially these days.
Yeah. So he's what, 16 years old, and apparently this happened just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, the movie came out in 2018. So my
guess... sorry, he was 16 when it happened, and he's 20 years old now. That's my mistake. He's 20 years old now. He was 16 when it happened, and so he dressed up as that character. So I mean, I don't know. I guess out of context, you would think, oh, wow.
Yeah, it looks like his costume has a little point to the top of it. But the guy.
Sorry,
the character
it's not
in the movie
quality.
I know. It's like, please. But the movie itself, the guy just has. The sack does not have any sort of pointy on top of the head that the guy's wearing.
And it's also I can't believe this is where we are in life.
But this is right. This is it. This is what we're doing.
Because, you know, teenagers make great decisions all the time. So if we held everyone to the same level, everyone is a teenager, who you were as a teenager is who you will always ever only be. What a horrible world that we lived in.
Thank God that didn't happen to me.
I'd still be a Democrat. Look at that.
Right.
Can you imagine? Ooh. Ooh. Crazy. Just saying. But there's no, and he like explained what he was doing. And even his friends apparently explained what he was doing. And he's like, I would have never have done that. But it doesn't, you know, and the apparently like the friends and the parents and everyone else was like, they were literally imitating the Strangers Pray at Night, because apparently there were other stuff of other masks and all of this. But I don't know. It's just, kids, this is the one thing that you need to remember. Your parents shouldn't let you be on social media as much as you are. In fact, at all. My kids are not allowed. And then the only reason I let my oldest child get on one social media is I made him be friends with me. It was on Snapchat. And I was like, no. Not only do you have to be friends with me, but I'm going to make your friends be friends with me too. And I don't believe any of you when you post wholesome things that you pretend to be doing. Talking about scripture while eating at Waffle House. No, you're not. That was a meme from like 4 years ago. I'm on to you. Come on. I was on Reddit before you people were born.
I mean, that's the critical age where you push the envelope, right? You push the envelope just to see, you know, your part in the world. What does that mean? And then where are my mistakes and where can I improve? that we're eliminating all of that now because we're going after teenagers for what stupid things they do.
It's how many times does this have to happen, really? So then you also had, so Michael Shea, who is one of the anchors for the SNL news segment that they do, he came back because remember how I said at this on Monday, cancel culture mob, the rage mob was mad at Gen Z Hospital, the skit that was on SNL, where they said things like bestie and sus. By the way, NBC removed the entire video because whoever did that doesn't understand fair use and you're a fascist and it was absolute fair use and I should sue you for your soul. But sidebar, I am like the most litigious person you will ever meet in your ever loving life. I can't even tell you how many times I've dragged people to court and won. That being said, that's not a thing to, it's not a virtue, kids. Aim higher. But he said that he was, you know how, the AAVE, the African American Vernacular English. Michael Shea posted on, I can't even say everything he said. He posted on Instagram. He goes, he was saying, what in the hell is this? he's like, I'm black and I've never even heard of AAVE. And he said, he meant no offense. And he hit back, I thought, pretty hard. And he goes, I love AAVE. AAVE to the moon. But it's, I don't know, man. It's just crazy. That's just, so he even spoke up over this because it's gotten that far. It's gotten just really, really far. Let's see here. I got a million other things to get into. We have J. Christian Adams who's going to be joining us coming up about HR1 because there's movement with HR1. In Congress, and I know that at some point it'll be on the floor for a vote with the House. I don't expect it to do actually anything in the Senate. I just can't imagine because included in that is DC statehood, and this is something that Joe Manchin has said he's not on board to support. So that kind of does it in. So they are having a Rules Committee hearing. They've been having those this week, and they have to move it out of the Rules Committee. And go through that parliamentary process, all those procedures to get it to the floor for debate before it really kicks in. So we're going to revisit this with our good friend J. Christian Adams, who is a former attorney with the Department of Justice. And this is like his area of expertise. So he's going to be joining us about this coming up.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I was feeling really sassy, honestly, when I put this in the headline section. I said that today in Duh, vaccinated people don't need to wear masks outside, says Fauci. Now, keep in mind, the CDC is now walking this back out of the map because of the massive public shaming campaign over the competing explanations about masks from different CDC officials and even the administration. So this is one thing that Fauci came out with, saying that, well, you can leave the mask to the side. You don't have to, we're going to make that transition. He was saying this with CBS's Gail King this morning. Okay, can we just have one person from the CDC? He's from NIH. Can we just have one person talk about this? Just one. That's all we need. This comes from Oklahoma News 4. CBP officials destroy cow dung cakes left behind at the airport. That is not a typo. Officials at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection were forced to destroy two cakes of cow dung. They were in a suitcase at Washington Dulles International Airport. They were left behind by a passenger on an Air India flight. Now, they're used as a source of fuel for cooking or heating in some parts of the world, or like a skin detoxifier, antimicrobial, or fertilizer. So they are trying to figure out what in the world that, but they said that that's still not something that they see every day. So, I mean, very, you know, interesting. And, oh man, I'm just running out of time because I didn't even 1,000 feral cats released onto Chicago streets to tackle rat explosion. J. Christian Adams joins us next.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, CDC is updating our guidance for fully vaccinated people. Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. If you are fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things that you had stopped doing because of the pandemic.
Oh, for the love. So this is the CDC coming out and saying, okay, you can do all the stuff that you were doing anyway that you didn't need us to tell you that you could do. It makes sense, right? Yeah. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to my Substack, Chapter and Verse. I have new stuff out daily. And we'll continue to bring you very confusing, contradictory information from the CDC as best we can. It's all we can do, right? It's all we can do. Meanwhile, one of the other things that we are watching is this, because everybody's, we've been discussing the situation between Israel and Hamas. We've also been looking at the oncoming, 4%+ jump in inflation, the second biggest since World War II, and looking at all of the maneuvering in D.C. So as I understand it, following the long passage, if you all remember, what was it, School of Rock? How a bill becomes a bill? Remember all that? Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Schoolhouse Rock. I don't remember anything anymore. There's too much from the CDC. A Senate Rules Committee hearing that's been getting heated. That took place Tuesday. They're going through the process of moving this bill from committee to floor. And I think that this HR1, they call it For the People Act. It's like Bain wrote it. And it's anything but. And we've talked about this with my next guest and my good friend, J. Christian Adams. We've talked about this with him before. But now that it's moving, I think it's time to revisit and also ask what we can expect. If you're unfamiliar with my friend, J. Christian Adams he's an author. He's also he's an election lawyer with Public Interest Legal Foundation. You can find him on Twitter as well. New York Times bestselling author, I should add, of Injustice, which is such a great book. And I lent it out and I had to strong arm it back. And then I got it as a gift for a friend. So he joins me now. J. Christian Adams, always a pleasure, my friend. So I know that we've discussed HR 1 before, and that this is of all the people who are well versed in election law, you know, you are number one in this, in my opinion. Now that this is starting to get a little bit of movement, what can we expect with HR 1, which is all about voting and centralizing voting and cementing mail-in ballots and every bad thing that you could imagine happening to the election system is in this bill? Where are we, and what can we expect?
Federal takeover of elections, HR1. Forgive me, I just had my second COVID shot, so I'm growing a second tongue and my teeth are glowing, so forgive me if I ramble a bit.
But, so totally forgiven.
Yeah, minutes ago, I had my vaccination. So listen, it was in a hearing, like you said, in the Senate Rules Committee, and it didn't get out. It was a tie vote, but that means that Chuck Schumer is going to take it up on the floor of the Senate through these powers that he has as the Senate Majority Leader, and it can only pass with 60 votes now. That's the bottom line. It can only pass with a filibuster, and it's not going to pass in that sense. So it looks to me, you know, hopefully because of Joe Manchin, I might add, the senator from West Virginia, who says doing this would cause anarchy and chaos, oh my, and he's a Democrat, is stopping the bill, believe it or not. But that doesn't mean they're not going to break it up. And it's like when you play the game Asteroids, you know, and you blow up the biggest asteroid, mm-hmm. all the little ones start to move around and threaten you. That's what's going to happen next.
Oh, goodness. And because there's so many awful things in this, I mean, with D.C. statehood, with just trying to remove from states their sovereignty and determining just the integrity of their voter rolls, just maintaining accurate and correct voter or correct and up to date voter rolls, making sure that there aren't any people who are dead or shouldn't be on there. I mean, that it takes it away from them. This could actually, I mean, going by that, I mean, theoretically, this could break up into a million little bitty things, and then it becomes kind of overwhelming. And at some point, maybe this speaks to my lack of confidence in the Republican Party at times, but they're going to give on something.
Yeah, you're right. I have no doubt they'll give on something, and what that something is remains to be seen. And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this bill prohibits you from cleaning up voter rolls from Deadwood. It prohibits you from having voter ID. It forces automatic voter registration off government lists, which will create people getting on the list multiple times because of, you know, tiny little misspellings in their name. It's a disaster bill. It undoes the union in the sense that it takes away the original bargain. It cancels it where the states are in charge of their own affairs. It's a terrible bill, mm-hmm. And no part of it is good. No part deserves to pass.
We're talking with my friend Jay Christian Adams. One question that I don't know if I actually was able to really get in a little bit more in depth with you the last time that we discussed this, and this is something that apparently a lot of people are unaware of, because when I bring it up, I get a lot of comments and emails about this. It feels as though, and correct me if my comparison is inaccurate, that because Democrats were unhappy about Citizens United, they're trying to remedy that with how they're approaching PACs and restructuring of campaign finance laws in this bill, because really, ultimately, taxpayers are going to be on the hook for financing campaigns with us.
Yeah, that's another crazy part of the bill, that if you run, actually it's worse than public financing, you know, the good old-fashioned public financing where your campaign gets money. HR 1 actually has a provision where the politician running for office gets money, where they get paid a salary, they get paid to run for office, and that's not just the winner. That's all the crackpot candidates that are already in the race take a salary from the congressional race.
And I don't remember seeing any real serious limitations to that. You could just run for office and make a career out of running and never winning.
Yeah, why should there be limitations when justice is at stake? I mean, my goodness, who needs limits when that happens? And so everybody, you know, open up the ballot for everyone to run for office and get taxpayer money. That, you know, why stop at just, COVID subsidies and giveaways. Let's go all in and pay people to run for Congress.
So we know that the D.C. statehood aspect of this wouldn't go anywhere because there are too many Democrats that are just not on one. By too many, I mean like maybe two, but that are not on board with it. But some of this other stuff, though, is, you know, like the photo ID, getting rid of that requirement, or establishing as just the new way of doing things, mail-in ballots. That's like a whole other scenario. And I mean, what should we gear up for? Because I feel like those two things particularly are the most perhaps realistic achievements that they could get out of this.
They could, but they've got something even more devilish up their sleeve, and that's the John Lewis Act. And what they want to do is restore. Remember in the good old days, like 8 years ago, when Eric Holder had power over 16 states to approve or reject all their election changes? And I don't just mean like voter ID. I mean like move a polling place from a classroom to a library. When I was in the Justice Department, we used to have to review stuff like that. Or change the hours of the election office from 8:30 opening to 8:45. Literally, bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. were approving or rejecting those changes. That's the part the left wants the most, because it puts power in the hands of left-wing bureaucrats who are unaccountable to the people, and they will micromanage and meddle in state elections all over the country to help Democrats win office. That's the crown jewel of what they actually want. It's called the John Lewis Act. It's part of H.R. 1. Mm. Pay attention, because I think that's where they're going next.
Oh, wow. That's slightly terrifying. Last question for you, talking to our friend Jay Christian Adams. So if Schumer brings this up in the Senate and then this goes nowhere in the Senate, then this will go back. I would imagine they'll break it up. That'll go back to committee. And then, I mean, theoretically, we could see something in the next couple of weeks if they were going to piecemeal it. Right.
Right. Because they're running out of time. The Democrats are openly saying if we don't pass this soon enough, we might not win the 2022 elections. They view this as a re-election device. Taking over state control of elections is how they want to win elections. And so they know they can't implement all of their utopian dreams in time if they don't pass something soon.
Good heavens. Just one thing after another. My gosh, what else is going to happen to us just in the first? These have been a very exciting, in a bad way, first 100 plus days. Haven't they been, my friend? Oh my gosh.
I know. Before you know it, there's going to be things like gas lines.
Right? I mean, who? And yeah, gas lines, high gas prices, inflation. Wow.
Yeah.
Jay Christian Adams, our friend. Always so good to talk
Commodores
with you.
Commodores and the Bay City Rollers.
Well, ABBA is coming out with a new album, apparently. They have new music they're releasing, so it seems apropos.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Good to talk with you. Jay Christian Adams, New York Times
Dana.
Bestselling author of Injustice. Thank you, my friend.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
I have a bunch of stuff here. And the first thing, really quickly, the president's budget is going to be out on May 27th. That was just announced. So we'll have that. I have no idea except for that. So we'll bring all of that information to you. So that's the first thing. The second thing, tomorrow, two of the things we're going to be discussing tomorrow is apparently the argument that was between Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Apparently the only people who can argue on the floor of the House are people who have three names. Do you know, it's a new rule. I'm not really, I'm joking, but am I? So they got into a discussion, and NBC said that Green accosted Cortez, because you can accost people with words now. Did you know that? Oh, really? I was murdered. You can accost people with words. Oh. So we'll discuss that because it's ridiculous. And Friday is when we have our most ridiculous things. So that's the other thing. The last thing is, because we're running out of time, we will go over that story of that not really whistleblower from Florida, the woman who sounds like my friend Charles Cook wrote about this whole thing about this. She wasn't even like a high up. She was a button pusher, basically. And she tried saying that someone in Florida's health department made her change the raw data, which she never even actually had. She was only given literally a printout of numbers. And it reads like a profile of Glenn Close's character from Fatal Attraction. I mean, with the whole boyfriend stalking and everything. There was a protection order involved in all of it. So it's going to be tea time. So it's going to, I kept thinking, surely it couldn't get any. Oh, yes, it can. It's really bad. So we'll discuss that tomorrow as well. And then I got hate mail for you tomorrow. So we are going to have mailbag of hate tomorrow. I have some nice stuff. And then we'll put extra in the plate for Jesus and get some rain GMO. So we got all those nice things for you. One of the other things that I wanted to touch on as well, because it's not, I didn't want to totally dive into it, but I keep seeing, and I did mention this, I think 2 days ago, I keep seeing these media takes and like Savannah Guthrie, when she was interviewing Liz Cheney, they're like one of the people who was, I think it was NBC and some others had, they wrote separate additional stories about this conversation, just focusing on different things that she had said. And Guthrie was insisting that the ouster, her losing her GOP conference chair seat, must be fueled by GOP sexism. Which is, I think, if not the dumbest take of 2021. Did she get the conference chair because of sexism, too?
Well, they can't use racism with her, so.
Yeah, I mean, she was elected conference chair. And apparently that nobody had a problem with sexism. And then when she loses conference chair, then it's sexism. And then they were trying to push her replacement to be a woman, but it was sexism. It wasn't even like a conservative woman. That doesn't make any sense. Any Republican who engages in that kind of ridiculousness should be ridiculed. And you all have, it is your civic duty to make fun of that spin. It is. Don't just leave all the fun to us. You have a responsibility to get out there and do it too. Okay, today in Stupidity Came.
Actually, I was going to set this up and everything, but I'm just going to say this. Here's Rashida Tlaib.
Our freedom is interconnected with Black, Brown, Indigenous, and it's connected. What they are doing to the Palestinian people is what they continue to do to our Black brothers and sisters here, to the immigrant community here.
Oh, she's just, I mean, if it isn't about race, it's about something else that is intangible. And politically, you know why they're using something intangible like race and stuff, because it's all about control.
Black and Brown brothers and sisters, again, don't lob rockets onto their other sisters.
But anyone easily offended is easily manipulated, and Democrats know this. So that's why they go out there and do all of this emotionally charged things in order to gain control.
Yeah. All right. So, folks, that concludes our program today. And that was a very fast program. Tomorrow is Friday. We've made it through the week. We have mailbag of hate for you. We'll get into the truth behind that not really whistleblower from Florida and how Florida is the model for post-pandemic recovery. We got that and lots. I'll be on Hannity later tonight, DanaLash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter.